Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Well, I love testimonies. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 10, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And, you know, when testimony is shared, that's the spirit of prophecy that's released. Prophecy is to foretell, that is to just speak out truth, and it's to foretell, that is to speak to things that are yet to happen. And so, a testimony of Jesus prophesies hope, that if God can do something for them, he can do that for you. The same God that healed Megan, the same God that saved Anita, he's still at work today. All the testimonies that we've been hearing. We got another testimony that's just hot off the press. Stephen Wesley was texting after Christmas. He's like, man, I had the best Christmas of my, well, other than when I got saved, I had an amazing Christmas. And I was like, do you want to share that? He was like, yes. And so I'm going to invite Stephen Wesley, welcome him to come. And this is hot off the press. I believe God's going to just release some faith in this room as we hear what he's been doing. Our God is a saving God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God, church. Praise God, church.
Amen.
Praise God, church.
Amen.
We have a banner here, and it says, wonderful. And when God spoke to Abraham and Sarah, and he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? That word hard is better translated wonderful. Honestly, look it up. When Samson's mother and father had a visitation from the angel, and they asked him his name, he said, don't you know it is too wonderful? And then when Mary, Gabriel came and said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's that same word. Why am I sharing this? Because there's certain things that are too wonderful when they happen. They're deep down on the inside and you're hopeful that they'll take place. But you're waiting for God to move. So, Christmas morning comes. My family from Toronto was coming for Christmas. I've been praying for 50 years for salvation to come. And my brother gets out of the car, and I hug him, and I don't smell smoke or weed on him. And he looks at me, and he smiles at me, and he says, Stephen, I'm changed. He says, I'm saved.
Come on.
Listen to me. He then proceeds to say, God delivered me supernaturally from my tobacco and my weed addiction.
Come on.
He said, I didn't have to work for it. I just asked him, and he did it.
Come on.
And so everybody who knows my brother, because if you know my family, they're kind of like me. We're kind of out there. We kind of walk in a room and it kind of, you know, anyway. So everybody knows Donald. Everybody does. Jesus hears that seven-year-old prayer. Where's that man that just got baptized? I just saw you. He saw and heard that seven-year-old prayer of confession. For everybody here who's praying for a lost, a loved one that's not saved, parents, children, siblings, one more thing and I'm done. Jesus is a kinsman redeemer.
Yes, he is.
Let me put that in layman's terms. He's a family savior.
Yeah.
He's a family savior. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Woo! So, if you've been praying for somebody, Stephen was saying he's praying for his brother for 50 years. And sometimes when we're praying for something for a long time, we can start to, it's okay, we can admit sometimes we start to kind of run out of gas, like I've been asking the same thing over and over again. I don't know how it works, but I know the Bible says this, that our prayers are collected in heaven in these bowls. And when the time comes, the Lord just pours out the answer. And the same God who's moving in Stephen's family, he's at work today. And if you're thinking that there's someone that is like too far gone, I believe there's faith in the room to pray for prodigals and lost people. Amen? Amen? So I want us just to turn to a moment of prayer if we can. Can you just take that for me? And I want us just to call on the Lord. And we're just going to lift our voices to him and pray. And if you're believing for someone who needs to come to know Jesus. First of all, if you're believing for someone who once knew the Lord and they drifted, they've gone away, but you're standing in faith believing that the Lord will bring them back, I want you just to wave at me this morning if that's you. Yeah, look at that, people all over the room. Why don't you just stand to your feet if that's you. If you're believing for others who have never responded to the gospel, but you're asking that the Lord would bring them and soften their heart, if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet as well. We're believing for people to come to know Jesus, and we're asking the Lord to use us to reach people for him. What I want you to do, I want you just to lift your hands right now. While this testimony is just fresh on our lips, I want you to just begin to thank God for what he did in Donald, the way that he just grabbed a hold of him. Just begin to give God thanks. Lord, we thank you that you grabbed a hold of Donald. You got a hold of his heart. Lord, I thank you for 50 years of praying that did not fall on deaf ears, but was collected in those bowls in heaven. Father, we just thank you that you're a saving God. You're a delivering God, that you're a family saving God. We thank you, Lord, that as we stand in this room today with our hands lifted up to you, Lord, we're not just pulling on some old story, but fresh testimony. And so God, today we're praying for family members. We're praying for sisters. We're praying for brothers. We're praying for husbands and wives and fathers and mothers. Father, we're praying for family and friends who need to yield their life to you, Lord Jesus. As we stand here today, Lord, we're standing in faith knowing that, God, you move in people's hearts. And so, God, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would give us a fresh deposit of faith to look for what it is that you're doing, that, God, you'd give us the grace to join the conversation that you're already having with them. Holy Spirit, you're at work in their lives right now. And so, Father, we're asking in the name of Jesus that, Lord, everything that confirms rebellion, every celebratory voice that keeps them turning away from you, would you silence those voices? Lord, would you send wise people around them, godly people around them, people with fresh faith and fire in their hearts? Lord, would you surround them, Lord, with the testimony of your goodness? And God, we pray that you would break through disappointments and that, God, instead of blaming you, they would turn to you. Father, we're asking that, Lord, there would be waves of salvation throughout our families, waves of salvation through our workplaces. We agree with you, Lord, that the fields are ripe and ready for harvest. And so, Lord, we stand upon the testimony of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can take your seats. Praise God. Well, I believe this. I believe that God is constantly in the process of developing faith and confidence in us. He's never just leaving us still, but he is building us. And testimonies remind us of victories that we've experienced or that others have experienced. It reminds us of the current activity of God, and it encourages us to keep going. It encourages us to keep standing. And so, the question that I want to address this morning, because I know it's always in the room when testimony happens, is that what can happen is we can hear that testimony and we're like, that's awesome. And there's a part of us that's like, but how come not me? Like, why? You know what, Lord, that's so cool you're doing it there, but I want you to do it over here. Or sometimes, you know, we want to be encouraged about something good that God is doing or that God has done, and yet we still have areas of unanswered prayer in our lives. While something good has happened, there's still yet a struggle. And The reality is that God wants us to learn how to view challenges in our lives through a lens of faith. And so I want you to take your Bibles this morning. We're just going to take a couple minutes together, and then we're going to pray. In 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is, he begins this letter, he begins with a defense, actually, because there's critics in Corinth that are questioning his reliability and his methods and his credentials. And so he's dismantling those attacks. The church in Corinth had been infiltrated by a group that were simultaneously really heavy into the law, really heavy into Old Testament law, and, you know, somewhat legalistic and religious, and also who were really big on boasting. Near the end of the book, Paul actually labels a group that has infiltrated the church as the super apostles, these people that come in with hyper-charismatic stories and use those hyper-charismatic stories as a way to discredit anyone who doesn't have as cool a story as I've got. And you need to listen to me because of how profound, when I pray, I float 3 feet off the ground. Like, they're just, bragging about their hyper-spirituality. And so Paul doesn't make any excuses. He actually just comes in and what looks like failure by worldly standards, or what looks like, prayer isn't working for you, what looks like how can you be encouraged and how can you be someone we should listen to when there's a thorn in your flesh, when there's still some difficulty in your life. Paul doesn't shy away from it, but he comes at it head on. And so I want us just to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. We'll start there. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore," everybody say therefore, "we also believe and therefore speak." Now before we work through the rest of the text, I just want us to notice something. Faith is not a matter of big talk. Faith is not a matter of saying a big thing and hoping it comes true. That's not what Paul says. He doesn't say, "I speak and therefore I believe." He doesn't say, "I claim things in order to create faith in myself." That's not what Paul says. If we want to be biblical, we got to look at what he says. He says that we believe and therefore we speak. That there is something that God does within us by the Spirit that prompts a confession or a declaration of faith. It's born of the Spirit. We don't just say something and, kind of try to make it true. That's Christian make-believe. That's not what the Bible encourages us in. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It doesn't say, "Tell somebody you're redeemed and then it'll be true." Like, we believe and therefore speak. That there is something God wants to produce in us, and from that production of faith, when we speak, it comes from the substance of what God has deposited within us. When we reverse the order, it's exhausting. We're constantly trying to conjure faith in ourselves by saying the right things. And that's exhausting. And that is not New Testament Christianity. The Apostle Paul says, we believe and therefore we speak. What that means is we need to lean into the Lord and allow him to produce faith and conviction in our hearts, and from that place, speak. Again, like I said, people aren't getting saved because they're getting baptized. They're saved, that's why they're getting baptized. I'm not going through the waters, now I'm saved. I've been saved, I'm going through the waters to show you what God has done in me. We believe and therefore we speak. We speak from spirit birth confidence. We don't try to conjure it with saying the right things. And if we mess that up, again, we get into Christian make-believe. So Paul is trying to set the order right. Let God birth something in you, and from that place, speak in agreement with him. Don't try to conjure, partner. Verse 14. "Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Amen. How do we stay encouraged when we hear testimony, and yet there's still adversity that we're experiencing? Paul says it's that when we get that discouragement, when we get the order reversed, what happens is we begin to lose heart. We get worn out. We start giving up. We get tired. We get exhausted by the adversity. But Paul here is saying, you know, quitting is not an option. He's saying we do not lose heart, even though outwardly we're wasting away. Inwardly, somebody say inwardly. On the inside, Paul says, we're being renewed day by day. And so for the follower of Jesus, my outward circumstance is not telling you what my inner reality is. What it looks like on the outside is not telling you the story of what God's doing on the inside. And so the proper way to interpret your circumstances is to fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And when we fix our eyes on what is seen, we can actually begin to fuel discouragement. But when we fix our eyes on what is unseen, we begin to stay in agreement with God, and it eclipses what we're experiencing here on the earth. Paul found a way to be encouraged, even though he was literally, he uses the word wasting away. And he's not being dramatic. As a prisoner in a Roman cell, he's literally wasting away. And he's like, I know some of you think that you should get a new apostle. I know some of you think that you should get someone who knows how to pray and get all his needs met and all his wants met. And someone, when they claim something, they get it. I know that you guys want some super champion float on a cloud apostle. But I'm not embarrassed of where I am. I'm telling you, my circumstance doesn't tell you what's happening on the inside. I'm encouraged because what's happening on the inside of me is I'm being renewed. I'm having a daily renewal on the inside, even though on the outside I'm wasting away. I'm not in denial. I'm just not allowing my circumstance to dictate the way that I will see God. This is literally what it means to live by faith. Because the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith is to literally not allow what I'm seeing to disrupt what God is doing. I'm being renewed on the inside. Outwardly, I'm going through some things. Paul says, outwardly, I'm wasting away, but inwardly, I'm more in love with Jesus than I've ever been before. That's got to be some goals for us in this room. To determine to keep the inner temperature of our hearts white hot for Jesus, no matter what the circumstance would try to detract and pull you down. And to allow testimony to fuel faith in you that what God's doing in other people, he's the same. And if I'm not experiencing that breakthrough right now, it's not an accusation against his character toward me. What it is that it's not time for me yet, but I trust him. And though outwardly I might be wasting away, inwardly I'm being renewed. I can love him and I can trust him even if I'm having some difficulty. That's not mind over matter. That's biblical Christianity. Faith does not make you avoid problems. And what's happening on the inside of you is more important than what's happening on the outside of you. We looked at this a few weeks ago. This is what it means when Scripture tells us to guard your heart above everything else, because out of it flow the issues of life. The issues of life is not what's happening. The issues of life is what's going on inside. It's not what's going on the outside. And so you can have an inward renewal every day. And so my view of God and my confidence in his goodness will be assaulted by life. That's just real. My view of God and his goodness will be assaulted by life. There will be things that try to challenge that. There'll be things, some of you are sitting here today and you're like, yes, there are some things that are trying to point at and accuse God. My job, our job, is to manage that by pressing beyond circumstance and letting God do an inside job in us, to be renewed daily on the inside. Paul is writing from prison. He's on death row. He's eventually executed by the Roman Emperor Nero. And when his life was coming to an end, he was likely being starved and mistreated. And yet that did not, what was happening out there didn't become the internal narrative. Outwardly, yes, I'm wasting away. Inwardly, man, I am thriving. What's going on inside of me is different. He didn't allow his circumstance to become what would be very easy for it to become. It'd be very easy for it to become, God, I've served you. And this is how you treat apostles. I've preached and I've planted churches and I've discipled leaders. Why can't my anointed handkerchief just bust open some prison cells? What about the time that you got me out of prison when I was singing with Silas? I'm singing now, but the prison's still locked. You want to tell me he didn't sing in prison? I mean, if I had a prison bust open while I was singing, I'd be singing every time I go to prison. Right? You want to know that he was worshiping in that prison cell. It's like, why isn't it working like it did last time? Because God's not a slot machine. And faith is not a science. And there aren't these easy tic-tac-toe formulas. I mean, people will give you them and write books about them and preach them to you, but they're not real. The reality is that there's a relationship that God wants to bring us into. And what Paul unapologetically is saying to people who are accusing him of having some inferior level of faith because of his circumstance, he says, I'm not embarrassed of my circumstance. I know I'm wasting away, but you guys, what you can see is not what's really happening. What's going on is I'm being renewed on the inside day by day. I'm not getting quiet on my love for Jesus. And Paul flips the equation that if I'm supposed to feel embarrassed, I'm not embarrassed. Because the fact is, it's easy to claim big faith when everything's going your way. But I've got big faith and everything stinks. I got faith and I'm wasting away. So maybe listen to the guy who's not just claiming a bunch of big miraculous stuff. I've seen miracles. I've seen God break through. I've seen God bust jails, cells open. I've been to the third heaven, all that stuff. I've had amazing encounters. But listen to me. My credential is not all the amazing charismatic gifts I've got and the things that I've experienced. But my credential is Jesus is holding me on the inside. And he hasn't let me get arrogant because of the good things. And he hasn't let me tap out because of the difficult things. I'm being renewed on the inside. And it's a posture of faith. It's a posture of faith that can carry us through adversity. We got a lot to learn from men and women of Scripture. The expectation that faith in Jesus should make my life easy is an unbiblical expectation. An overcomer actually has to overcome. Faith doesn't lead me to avoid pain and adversity. It leads me through it. Faith teaches me how to overcome. Paul calls it fixing our eyes. Fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. Kind of a double meaning there of fix. Like fix it. Like they're broken. You got to fix it. And then fix like attune it and attach it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Get locked in on Jesus. Not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What Paul is saying is that what is unseen is more real than what you can see. And so when I, listen, there are some people in this room, even right now while you're hearing me, there are some things that are consuming problems to you that 4 years from now you won't even remember. It's just the front headline today. And what we, how do I know that? Because I mean, Scripture shows us this. Like you've got Israelites in the wilderness going, man, we're going to die if we don't get any food. And then God gives them bread from heaven. And they're like, it's nothing to eat except for bread from heaven. Like the reality is that we can get over things without counting our blessings. You know what's a good thing to do on the last Sunday of the year? Why we have Testimony Sunday? We're not in a rut. It is so good to crown the year with thanksgiving. It is so good to come out of the year shouting and saying, he's been faithful all the way up until now. And I'm excited for what he did in Megan. And I'm grateful for what he did in Anita. And I'm thankful for how he saved Stephen's brother. I'm thankful for all those kids that decided they want to shout their faithfulness to Jesus in front of Lake Ontario and get baptized in front of all their friends. I'm grateful for what God is doing. And there's testimonies in this room. And what we need to do at the crown, to crown the year, is to actually count our blessings and begin to thank the Lord for what he is doing without stumbling over what he hasn't done yet. Because when we're fixated on what we want to happen that hasn't happened yet, it can crowd your gratitude. And what God is looking for is for us to actually live by faith and not by sight. So again, Paul calls that fixing our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Look again at verse 17. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm not going to lie. There have been times in my life where that verse sounds a little bit offensive. How dare you call this light and momentary? Anybody? Like some, you know, there's a scale. I think we can all admit there are scales, you know, to problems in life. Like I have a hangnail versus I'm hanging on to dear life. Like there's a scale. And yet Paul says, no, there isn't. It's light and momentary. And you want to get offended, and then you have to remember who's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Like, well, I guess if we wanted to get into a pain contest, Paul wins. So if he's going to talk about our trials in this life as light and momentary, he's not talking down and condescending and saying, get over it, you're a bunch of crybabies. What God by his Spirit inspired in the Apostle Paul is, if we could gain the eternal perspective, which is what? To fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. That perspective scales whatever it is that you're going through right now to light and momentary. How can you say that? Because you're not going to be here forever, let alone in this problem forever. Heaven is forever. The glory of God is forever. Your forgiveness and permanence in the palm of God's hand, that's forever. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What's he saying? I can't lose. That's what he said. I can't lose. Yeah, but Paul, there's some difficulty in life. I know. That's life. Yeah, but Paul, shouldn't you be claiming better things? I want to serve God with my life. So for me, I just want to serve him. I want to have fruitful ministry. If I was trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of God. But now I'm a servant of the gospel. I'm doing everything he's called me to do. For me to live is Jesus. What happens if you die, Paul? Then I super win. To die is gain. I think Paul was of the persuasion as he walked through his life. You kind of pick up the narrative as you work through letter after letter and kind of follow the apostolic journeys and the missionary journeys that he was on. I think Paul got to this place where it was like, you know, when he's recounting and he gets there in a couple of chapters when he's talking about, you know, I've been beaten and shipwrecked twice and left for dead and floating at sea and, you know, they've stoned me and they've beaten me with rods and I've been left for all of this stuff. I think Paul was kind of counting that back and going, you know, I guess I really can't die until Jesus is done with me. So for me to live is Jesus. And when my time is, it's held in his hand. When my time is come, then I go to heaven and that's all gain. But I'm not just looking for an escape plan like, Jesus, take me to heaven. I'm living for him here and now. Yeah, but Paul, there's some challenge. Yeah, I know I'm wasting away. I know, on the outside. But what you can't see is on the inside, totally different story. That's living by faith and not by sight. He said that there are things that are light and momentary troubles, but the glory far outweighs them all. I think if we could fix our eyes on what is unseen, that glory that outweighs them all would start to come front burner for us too. And we would begin to get really a lot more encouraged, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And this is a perspective that will lead us to overcome. Our current adversity in light of eternity is light and momentary. So when we fix our eyes, look at verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. We need to fix our eyes on the unseen realities of heaven. We need to fix our eyes. One of the testimonies in the tank today was, I struggled. How do I believe in Jesus? How do I believe Jesus is real? I can't see him. And the Bible doesn't shy away from the reality of that's part of living by faith, is that we're pressing in to know Jesus, the man who's fully God, by the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes and does a work in your heart, then you speak by faith, I believe in him. And it's from that place of Spirit-born faith and belief that all the other confidence spills over from. He's transforming us from the inside out. So I want us to get a victorious perspective. You know, I'm excited for next week, the theme of the year, name of the year. It's going to be a great year coming up in 2026. But I want us to celebrate what God has done in 2025. He's been faithful. God has been faithful. And I want to give you some homework this morning. I know you came to church, you're like, I'm just in between meals. Like I'm at a pit stop between family gatherings and more stuff. Listen, I want to give you some homework this morning. I want you to count your blessings at the end of 2025. I want you, you know, the things that tend to occupy the headlines on the news are the same things that tend to occupy the headlines in our hearts. The negative things just tend to get more airtime. I want to encourage you, count your blessings. I want you to make a list. I want you to write some things down. Say, I'm grateful to the Lord for this. I'm grateful for how he answered here, how he answered there. I'm grateful for whatever. Start where you can, but begin to rehearse your gratitude toward the Lord. And it will move from a discipline to an overwhelming reality of the Lord has been faithful. Lake Mount, God has been faithful to us. He has been faithful to us. He's faithful. He's from generation to generation, he's faithful. And the God who's got us thus far, this is like our Ebenezer Sunday, you know, thus far, the Lord has helped us. And he will continue to help us from this day forward. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for you. I'm going to welcome our prayer team to come and just line up here at the front. We want to take the opportunity to pray with people if you're here and you'd like prayer for anything at all. But I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I think it is so important for us to finish out with gratitude in our hearts. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I just want you to lift your hands in this room. That's that posture of surrender and that posture of praise, that posture of reaching out to the Lord. Would you do that? And just lift your eyes heavenward to him. Would you just lift your eyes toward heaven? And let's just begin to get praise on our lips. Would you just begin to thank him? Just thank him specifically. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm here. Thank you for breath in my lungs. Thank you, Lord. There were some things this time last year that you were worried about that as of right now, you forgot all about it. Thank you, God, for the way that you've been faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the testimony of people in this room, Lord, sharing how you saved them, how you've led them through adversity. Lord, how you canceled back pain and gluten intolerance, dairy intolerance, how you worked through anxiety and greatly diminished it. Thank you, God, for how you reached into Anita's life and set her free and met her that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, for Stephen's testimony about his brother, set free from years of addiction to weed and nicotine. Thank you, God, for the way that you have broken through in his family. Lord, I thank you today, Lord, that the same God who's breaking through in those life stories, Lord, that you are at work in our lives right now. Every person standing within the sound of my voice, you are at work in our lives. Father, what we want to do right now is we want to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. We want to shift from the temporary to the eternal. And so we ask for a work of your grace right now. Father, I pray for those who are carrying heavy weights right now. Lord, those who are sitting in an in-between season, waiting on the final word from doctors of pre-diagnosis and trying to determine things. But God, I thank you that you have the final word, and we remind ourselves of that this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you walk with us through valleys and you give us victory. Lord, you cause for us to be comforted in the midst of those dark, shadowy places, because you are always faithful. I pray, Lord, for those who have disappointment in relationships, and it's been the main headline even over this Christmas time of who's missing and what feels different around the table. God, we remind ourselves of your faithful love and your goodness. And Lord, you are building our lives as we yield to you and walk with you. And so, Father, I pray right now, Lord, with our hands stretched out toward you, Father, you would pour into us a fresh gift of faith, the faith that comes by hearing and hearing by your word. Cause for us, oh God, to overflow with gratitude. Let it be true of every household represented here, that, Lord, we would crown this year with gratitude and thanksgiving. Father, for those that it's especially difficult, it's an especially challenging sacrifice of praise, I pray that, Lord, as they build that altar and offer that sacrificial praise, that, Lord, you would meet them in the tears, and, Father, that you would surround them with your loving kindness and your glory and your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of consistency, of consistent victory. Lord, of people who have one more year walked free of their addiction. We thank you, God. Father, we thank you that you have been walking with us like a faithful shepherd. You are so, so good. And we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.